Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. Happy Monday to you all. Happy MLK Day to everyone out there. I hope that if you have the day off, you're enjoying the day, relaxing, getting ready for the rest of the week. If you had to work today, hopefully it's a productive day for you and you're not out there working too hard. But yes, happy MLK Day to you. I know his actual birthday was a couple of days ago. I mean, it's hard to believe that if Martin Luther King was still alive today, he would be well into his 90s. You know, he'd be 93 years old. Yeah, if he's born, 93 years old. Like, wow. You know, to think, you know. And I often wonder what Martin Luther King, how he would feel today with the way the world is, how things are for Black Americans in this country. What else would he have accomplished had he lived over the last, 54 years? We can only imagine, we can only wonder. But today, we honor MLK for what he did for civil rights and how that helped not just Black Americans but many people, because his work, the work that he did, helped spur other movements afterward that helped other oppressed peoples get rights. Women, the gay movement, all that was started after the civil rights movement that Martin Luther King, with many other people, many other names that we, love and respect and revere here on Everyday Black History and Black History and Black Culture in general have done. So we're not going to cover Martin Luther King today, but we just wanted to wish everyone a happy MLK Day today and just give a shout out to him and his work and his sacrifice for Black Americans and so many others. But today we are going to continue, as I mentioned in our last episode, we were covering men and women in the Black Arts Movement. Last week we did Sonia Sanchez and we talked about her poetry. And so this week we're going to cover another poet who's very well known in Black history and Black culture. If you know anything about poetry, you know the name Nikki Giovanni. If you know anything about Black poets, you know the name Nikki Giovanni. And Nikki Giovanni is a poet, a writer, a commentator, activist, educator. She's one of the world's most well-known Black American poets. I mean, her work, has spanned, over the last 50 years. And as I mentioned, if you know anything about poetry in the Black community, you know that name. You know who she is. She's won numerous awards. She's got over 20 honorary doctorate degrees from different universities, and she was one of the foremost authors of the Black Arts Movement that we talked about a lot last week. She gained fame initially in the late 1960s, and her poems have been collected in books and essays over the last 50 years. So we're going to talk about her today. We're going to talk a little bit about her, just about her life and her work and what she means to Black history and Black culture. She has mentioned that she's an educator. She's taught at Queens College, Rutgers, Ohio State, Virginia Tech. Just think about all the young minds that she's molded over the last, 50 years. That's who we're going to highlight today. And so we hope you enjoy this episode. So just a little bit of background information on her. She was born June 7th, 1943 in Knoxville, Tennessee, to Yolanda and Jones Giovanni. After her birth, her family moved around a bit to Cincinnati, Ohio, then Wyoming, Ohio, and then they moved back to Knoxville, where she lived with her grandparents later on in 1958. So she moved around during her young years, with her parents, and then in 1958 she moved back to Knoxville to live with her grandparents, where she attended and graduated high school. In 1960 she attended her grandfather's alma mater, which was Fisk University, HBCU, which we highlighted here on Everyday Black History. She went to Fisk University in Nashville, and she was an early entrant. And an early entrant meant that you can enroll in college without having finished your high school, without having received your high school diploma first. So she was an early entrant, and she clashed with the dean of women. She immediately clashed with the dean of women at Fisk University. And she was expelled after neglecting to obtain the required permission from the dean to leave campus and travel home for the Thanksgiving break. So she was expelled. But she moved back home, and she cared for family, and she worked at, you know, a drugstore at the time to make money and help care for her family. But a few years later, in 1964, when the new dean of women at Fisk University took over, she urged her to return to Fisk that fall. The new dean of women at the university was named Blanche McConnell Cowan, who she referred to affectionately as Jackie, and she was the one who encouraged her to return back to Fisk University and finish her degree. And while she was there during this time is when she began to find her voice and to become who the woman who we know her to be today. She edited a student literary journal. She reinstated the campus chapter of the SNCC, which was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And she published an essay in Negro Digest on gender questions in the movement. And in 1967, she graduated and got her BA in history from Fisk University. Now, after graduating, she suffered the loss of her grandmother, which was devastating for her, and writing is what helped her to cope with that tragedy. And the poems that came from those writings were included in her collection, Black Feelings, Black Talk, which, you know, came out years later. She attended a semester of the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Work in 1968 toward a master's, but then she moved to New York City, where she briefly attended Columbia University of the Columbia University School of the Arts toward an MFA in poetry, and then it was there that she privately published Black Feeling, Black Talk. In 1969, she began teaching at Rutgers University, Livingston College of Rutgers University, and she became an active member of the Black Arts Movement during this same time. She began making regular appearances on a television program called Soul, and it was actually a clip from one of the episodes of this particular television program, Soul, that I saw of her and James Baldwin having a conversation. And it's only a clip, but just seeing them talk and go back and forth, these two, you know, wildly intellectual men, just wildly intellectual man and woman, just going, you know, back and forth and talking about things, it made me, you know, want to, you know, do research on her and highlight. I mean, I always knew who Nikki Giovanni was, but I realized that I didn't highlight or talk about anybody from the Black Arts Movement. It's what drew me to, you know, doing this episode about her and about members of the Black Arts Movement like Sonia Sanchez and others who I'm going to highlight in the future. But seeing that clip is what brought me to her. And the whole interview is on YouTube. It's like 2 hours long. I didn't watch the whole interview. I will, because I want to hear the whole conversation. But just that minute long clip, just hearing them go back and forth, was just like, you know, wow. You know, it like I said, it made me want to you know, talk about her on here on the podcast. But like I said, the interview is from a TV program called Soul. So if you have the time, you can check it out. You know, Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin. But the television program Soul was an entertainment variety talk show that promoted Black art and culture and allowed political expression. And so on that show, you'd see, you know, James Baldwin, Muhammad Ali, Nikki Giovanni, Jesse Jackson, Sidney Poitier, rest in peace, Harry Belafonte, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder, and many other, you know, black notables of the time were on that show or were interviewed on that show. And she was a regular on that show. She helped to produce episodes, helped design episodes, and she was very instrumental in on that show for many years. From the years of 73 to 1987, she produced multiple poetry anthologies, children's books, and she's even released spoken word albums. In 1987, she began writing and she began teaching writing and literature at Virginia Tech, where she was the university distinguished professor. And she received the NAACP Image Award several times. As mentioned, she received 20 honorary doctorates and various other awards throughout her career. The Rosa Parks and Langston Hughes Awards for distinguished contributions to arts and letters. She's received the key to different cities, including Dallas, Miami, New York, LA. She received a life membership in school for the National Council of Negro Women. And she's also an honorary member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. She even survived lung cancer. You know, she's even a cancer survivor. In the early 90s, she underwent numerous surgeries to battle cancer. And she even wrote about the experience, of course, because she is a writer, in a book entitled Blues for All the Changes, New Poems. It was published in 1999. In 2002, she spoke in front of NASA about the need for more black Americans to pursue space travel, and she published this she published a book about that as well, a book called Quilting the Black IP, Poems and Not Quite Poems. So, you know, we can go on and on talking about her accomplishments. You know, she's a very accomplished woman, and she's still very busy and active today doing readings from time to time and teaching. Now, her writing, you know, as mentioned, she was one of the foremost authors in the Black Art and the Black Arts Movement. The Civil Rights Movement and the Black Power Movements were inspiring to her. They inspired her early poetry. One of her first poems that we talked about, Black Feeling, Black Talk, came out in 1968, sold thousands of copies. Her next poem, Black Judgment, again, you know, just came out that same year, was very successful. And her third poem, which came out in 1970, Re-Creation, all were very successful in establishing her as a voice in the Black Arts Movement. And you know, many critics of the time, you know, took note of her. You know, she was a woman poet who became a significant part of the civil rights and black power movements. And her poems were so like hard hitting that you had to take notice of her. You had to take notice of her work. And she didn't stop there. You know, she wrote a lot of poems during this time. The True Import of Present Dialogue, Black versus Negro, Poem for Black Boys, Litany for Pepe. I mean, she was very busy, you know, writing during this time and capitalizing these movements of civil rights and black powers. You know, like as mentioned, it made her a foremost, vocalist in the Black Arts Movement of the late 60s. She didn't just write about racial equality, though. She also advocated for gender equality. And it was her work, talking about that as well, that, you know, helped the burgeoning feminist movement within the black community. Poems such as Revolutionary Dreams and Woman Poem talked about these things. She talked about, you know, the objectification of women. She talked about how a lot of these movements, the civil rights movements or the black power movements, the black arts movement even, showed how a lot of these movements weren't as liberating for women, black women, as they were for black men. And even as we mentioned last week when we talked about Sonia Sanchez, they both talked about, you know, the, you know, black women's roles in civil rights and the Black Power movements, and how their roles should have been equal to the men, and a lot of times, most times, they weren't. So her poems also talked about not just racial equality, but also gender equality as well. She always stressed, you know, being politically, spiritually, and socially aware in her poetry. She took great pride in being a Black American, a Black American woman. You know, it was in the way she spoke, it was in the way she carried herself, her swag, you know. And she's written, you know, dozens of books, and including volumes of poetry. She even illustrated children's books. She wrote collections of essays, and she stated that she wanted to speak to all ages, and she strove to make her work accessible to both adults and children. You know, her work has inspired Black American activists and artists, and, you know, she reflects on issues of race, gender, sexuality, and the Black American family. One of her books, Love Poems, was written in memory of Tupac Shakur. You know, Tupac talked a lot about his respect for poets like her and Sonia Sanchez. You know, Tupac, you know, was very educated, and he was, you know, he grew up in a home where, you know, he was taught to appreciate his Blackness. And, you know, he talked a lot about his respect and admiration for Nikki Giovanni. And, you know, she did the same thing for him. In this book, Love Poems, in which she wrote in memory of him, and she stated that she would rather be with the thugs than with the people who were complaining about them. You know, because she could see more in a man like Tupac than just him talking about being a thug. She wrote a children's book entitled Rosa, which centered on the life of Rosa Parks and civil rights leader Rosa Parks. And that book went to number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. And she also won awards for that book as well. She would read her poetry. She was very active in engaging with live audiences when she read her poetry. You know, one of her first early readings she gave was at this club called Birdland in New York City. It was a club that Charlie Parker owned. Jazz musician Charlie Parker, they call him the Bird. And she, you know, that was one of her first readings, reading at that club. And, you know, when she would read her poems, she expressed, you know, anger. You know, she talked about oppression, solidarity. And, you know, it allowed her to reach more than just the poetic circle. You know, because of what she was talking about, she was able to reach people who felt oppressed in many other, you know, places in the country and in the world. You know, she started to record a lot of her poems with musical backdrops of jazz and gospel. And she would travel all over the world and speak and read to wider audiences her works. And even though a lot of her earlier works carried a more militant, revolutionary tone, she was able to communicate a global sense of solidarity among all people in the world while she traveled. And in this, it is in this sense of human unity in which she aligned herself with beliefs of Martin Luther King. You know, she believed that, you know, being unified, a unified collective, you know, she believed that a unified collective government must be made up of everyday ordinary citizens, regardless of race, ethnicity, and gender, and we all should be working together. You know, as mentioned before, you know, she actually, you know, I talked about her and James Baldwin doing that episode of the television program Soul, but they also wrote poetry together. She wrote a book entitled A Dialogue with James Baldwin, in which they speak blatantly about the status of the Black male in the household. And James Baldwin, you know, came from the opinion where he challenged Nikki Giovanni's opinion on the representation of Black women as the breadwinners in the household, in which he stated that a man is not a woman, and whether he's wrong or right, He said, look, if we're living in the same house and you're my wife and my woman, I have to be responsible for the house. And she conversely recognizes the black man's strength, and whether or not he is responsible for the home or not, you know, well, I don't want to get into it. You know, I would say, look for that book, A Dialogue, between James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni, because me trying to explain it, I'm not going to actually explain it properly. I'm not going to make it, you know, sound the way it should sound. So I would just say, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, go check out A Dialogue between James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni, in which they talk about that amongst a whole host of other things. But it's definitely always good seeing, you know, two intelligent, you know, people like them who are so accomplished, you know, him as an author and her as an author as well, you know, talk back and forth. They have so much respect for each other. They don't agree on everything, and they both can, you know, speak their point so well and so eloquently, you know, and whether you agree or not, it's just like, it does, you know, it does give you something to think about. But there's so much more we can talk about, you know, Nikki Giovanni, because, you know, her work is so vast. She has so many, you know, poems that's written in collections. And as mentioned, you know, check out the collections, because if you buy it in a book, then you can read it all at once, you know. So check out her collections. There's so many. And if you don't know who she is, do yourself a favor. Look her up. You know, check her out, because, you know, she's deep. You know, she really is deep. And so we just wanted to honor her today on Everyday Black History, because she means a lot to our culture, our history, and she's still around. So we got to give flowers to our, you know, heroes while they're still here, you know. So Nikki Giovanni, we thank you for your contribution to black history and black culture, and we salute you. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. As mentioned, I hope you all are having a wonderful day. Hope, you know, everything's going well for you, that this year so far is treating you well, and that the rest of the year will continue to treat you well. Hopefully the rest of this week will be a good, positive, productive week for you, and we'll be coming at you soon with more black history, so stay tuned for the next episode.